Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokesman.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, part-time home redecorator.
And I'm Nathan Weinbender, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio.
And welcome to Movies 101, the show that never loses faith in the ability of cinema to thrill us, despite the many times that it has done the exact opposite. This week, we'll start with a discussion of the British-made film The Penguin Lessons, and then we'll follow with a look at the upcoming summer movie season. Let's begin, then, by heading to Argentina, circa 1976. That was the year that a military junta overthrew the government of Isabel Perón and instituted a repressive regime that lasted until democratic elections resumed in 1983. It was around that time that a British man named Tom Michel took a job at an Argentinian boarding school, a tenure that he outlined in his 2016 memoir, The Penguin Lessons, A True Story. Adapted into a film by director Peter Cattaneo, based on a screenplay by Jeff Pope, and starring Steve Coogan and Jonathan Pryce, Michel's memoir has been reduced to a tame, cutesy story of a self-involved teacher adopting a Uruguayan penguin and using it as means both to reach his students and to find a bit of humanity in himself. Oh yeah, meanwhile, thousands of Argentinians were being disappeared by the junta, but that's been covered in a number of other and better films.
Cutesy is exactly the word I would use to describe The Penguin Lessons, so you took that word right out of my mouth. I never would have thought that Steve Coogan, he of Alan Partridge fame and 24-Hour Party
fame.
People
yeah.
and Tristram Shandy and, yeah, the Trip movies, would become sort of the go-to guy, at least in the last decade, for these kind of crowd-pleasing British comedies that are also dealing with serious social issues. You know, I'm thinking of movies that he actually co-wrote, like Philomena, which I think is the best of them, and something like The Lost King, which I had totally forgotten about until I was looking at Steve Coogan's IMDb earlier today. But that was a movie that happened. And this is sort of in that camp. And I think you're totally right that you've got these two plots running parallel. You have the bit about Steve Coogan and the penguin, and of course he doesn't want to adopt the penguin, but the penguin keeps following him, and the movie keeps cutting to little reaction shots of the penguin seeming to understand human speech. And you know, we've seen that a million times before. Of course, the penguin is really cute, and you'd have to have a heart of stone not to go aw a couple
yeah,
of times
yeah.
at the penguin and all of that. And then you have all of the stuff dealing with people being disappeared, which, of course, we talked about not that long ago with the Oscar-nominated and Oscar-winning film, I'm Still Here. And I think those two things coexist quite uneasily in
Boy,
The Penguin Lessons. And I think, in fact, the stuff involving the government violence is just frankly badly handled. I mean, this is a PG-13 movie, and pretty much the only real violence we see is Steve Coogan gets arrested at one point and he comes out with like a little black eye.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is not the movie to turn to if you want to learn about this particular piece of history. And then it ends with text because, of course, The Penguin Lessons is based on a true story. So we get the updates at the end about what happened to certain people. It ends with text telling us about the mothers of the Playa de Mayo and mm-hmm. how they still protest to this day. And we get footage of them. And I'm thinking, well, that's not what this movie was about. We see them briefly at the very end. One of the characters is part of it. I don't think they're mentioned by name. It just feels strange. Like
yeah.
they felt, oh, we need to do our due diligence and make sure that people know that this was an important, serious part of history. And I'm thinking, well, the movie should deal with that. So that stuff doesn't work. I totally agree. I do think the stuff that works is the cutesier, more crowd-pleasing stuff. I mean, Peter Cattaneo is the guy that directed The Full Monty, and he knows how
to
make
yeah.
this kind of movie in his sleep. Sometimes it kind of feels like he did. But I thought Steve Coogan was good. Jonathan Pryce had a few nice lines and, you know, a really small supporting role. But as a teacher, I think his interactions with the students are the thing that make this movie work when it does work. And I kind of wanted more of that. It keeps getting distracted by all the
But we've
the
even
political
seen
stuff.
That
it,
before.
No, it's true. But I think that we haven't seen it with Steve Coogan before.
Well,
and
no.
I think he has a distinctive style and a certain kind of acerbic quality that I like. And he's not playing the typical Steve Coogan guy, even though we think for a long time he is. There are some surprises in his character. I'll give the movie that much.
This movie is one that closed the Palm Springs Film Festival, so we had the opportunity to see it writ large, such as it was. And I have to say, The Penguin Lessons, I thought it was terrible. I mean, honestly, I don't think it knew what it really wanted to be. I don't know how closely it followed the memoir. I agree with you, Nathan. I thought the only part of the movie that actually I found to be palatable, not even the penguin, but his interactions with the students and sort of watching them grow or relate to the penguin as, you know, a MacGuffin for everything else that was happening.
Well, and the political strife of the world is reflected in the students' interactions as well.
Correct. So we have that going. Right, yeah. Exactly. So, but it just didn't quite come together. I don't think Steve Coogan was the right person to star in this film. Mm. I mean, he began as sort of this pain in the neck curmudgeon who was just not sure why he had to be stuck in this particular location at this particular time.
He wasn't interested in teaching at all.
Right.
He just, you know, basically just taking
a
nap.
Yeah, he's mostly like staring out the window as, you know, his students don't pay attention to him.
Right. So there was nothing about this movie that really worked for me. And I feel as though it's unfortunate because we do need more crowd-pleasing types of movies. I just don't want them to be stupid.
Yeah. You know, in terms of how closely The Penguin Lessons follows the memoir itself, Michelle was in his 20s when he took this job. Steve Coogan is 59 years old. So, of course, they had to change the entire tone of everything. And for another thing, Steve Coogan does not do cutesy. I mean, at the one point, in fact, on the beach, after he cleans the penguin up and tries to throw the penguin back in the water, and it keeps following him, and it's sitting there. And people come up to him on the beach, and they go, hey, is that your penguin? He goes, nah, I don't even like penguins. Well, why is it here? Why did you save it? He goes, well, I was trying to impress a woman I wanted to sleep with. You know, I mean, that is perfect Steve Coogan.
Right.
And it doesn't fit in a cutesy film.
Well, but that's the charm of the movie, is that he's almost at odds with the cutesiness and then eventually comes around. Like, that's sort of the appeal of a movie like this. And I don't know. I did like the penguin, Juan Salvador.
Juan Salvador.
I think it's supposed to be.
That's the best thing of the movie.
Because I think it's supposed to be the Spanish version of Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Exactly.
I think that's
right.
The joke.
But Juan Salvador, the flying part.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's true. And the Neil Diamond soundtrack. But I think there is, I'll admit, an amusing running gag where all of these kind of like stuffy intellectuals start using Juan Salvador as almost like a therapist, where they keep coming over to Steve Coogan's apartment to just sit on the balcony and talk to Juan Salvador about their problems. So there are charming little things about this, but I agree. We've seen this a million times, and this is not a sterling example.
And
of
that's
this
the
kind
problem. I mean, you know, how many movies have we seen that have been supposedly based on true events completely change everything simply because it doesn't fit the drama, you know, that the filmmakers
want. I don't know if I care so much about that. I mean,
My point is simply, why didn't they take the thing completely out of Buenos Aires,
make
it somewhere else?
Yeah,
because our problem is trying to conflate these two stories.
They're already putting it back in 1976, so that in and of itself was a little challenging. And then his age was off because, you know, we get some hints that maybe he had failed at other posts.
Yeah.
And at relationships.
Yeah, and he has a dark history, of course.
Right.
Well, and if they had made it now, Juan Salvador could have become a TikTok star and they could have made millions that way. I will say, you do get footage at the end of the movie of the real Juan Salvador, and I did like that.
Yeah. At any rate, that was our discussion of the film The Penguin Lessons. This is Movies 101. It's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to give you a rundown about what to expect from the coming summer movie season. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
Subscribe to your favorite public radio programs when you become a Spokane Public Radio sustainer, just like any news or entertainment service you use. But unlike those other services, you decide how much you want to pay. Set up an electronic fund transfer, and monthly installments will be withdrawn automatically from your account. Plus, you can start or stop your subscription at any time you want. As a sustainer, you help make your public radio station strong, and you never have to wonder when to renew. You're part of the community that sustains public radio. Phone 509-328-5729 during business hours, or go online to SpokanePublicRadio.org. Click the red Donate button and start the process. Working together, we make our community a better place to work, play, and listen.
And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I discuss the qualities, such as they are, of the based-on-a-true-story feature film, The Penguin Lessons. Let's now turn to what's coming out over the next few months in what, at least since 1975, has been the time for blockbuster releases, the summer movie season. But as always, you have to point out that even though they have a schedule, that schedule is always in flux. So some of the movies we're going to talk about may not open until the fall, or maybe not even next year. But from what we've seen so far, what are we excited about? Nathan?
Well, I was looking at the list of the, as you said, big blockbusters, and I don't want to be dramatic, but it just kind of looked to me like the emotional stunting of American culture in one list of movies. I mean, it's just so depressing. Like, and some of these movies might be good, and I might end up giving them positive reviews, but just going down the list, it's like a Lilo and Stitch remake, a How to Train Your Dragon remake, I Know What You Did Last Summer, 28 Years Later, Freakier Friday, Happy Gilmore 2, a new Jurassic World, a new
Jurassic World Rebirth,
a new Fantastic Four, a new Smurfs movie. Like,
did you say Superman? A new Superman movie?
For the love of God, like, I love a blockbuster too. I've loved remakes in the past, but that's all we seem to be getting, at least at a certain budget level. And So the movies I'm looking forward to are, well, none of those. Although 28 years later,
I'm looking
Danny
forward
Boyle
to that.
Has done interesting things with sequels. So
now
that,
we have 28 days later, 28 weeks later,
and now it's
28 years.
Years
later.
Yeah, so that could be interesting. But I'll start off with an obvious choice for this show, which is on May 30th, allegedly we're getting a new Wes Anderson movie called The Phoenician Scheme. And of course, that means I'm going to have to learn how to spell Phoenician properly every time I write it down.
Does it start with an F or a PH?
Let's see, a PH, actually. I just had to check that. But supposedly it's an espionage movie set against a strained father-daughter relationship. What else is new from Wes Anderson? And it's got one of his giant casts of people coming back from previous Wes Anderson movies. Scarlett Johansson, Tom Hanks, Bill Murray, Benicio del Toro, Jeffrey Wright, Bryan Cranston, Benedict Cumberbatch, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know much about it beyond that. We haven't gotten a trailer or anything, but a new Wes Anderson movie is always an occasion.
No, absolutely.
So I'm looking forward to that. MP, what about you?
Well, I mean, we're talking about summer blockbusters to some extent here because that's what we rely on for summertime fare. So Star Wars Episode 3, 25th anniversary. Yes.
25 years?
Yes.
Oh.
Yep. How could you not want to see that repeatedly?
Yeah.
Then we have Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, coming out
on
for
May 23rd.
For Memorial Day. Yeah. It says could be the final reckoning. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
We've thought that would be the case before.
How about on August 8th, Mary Pat, Freakier Friday coming out on, well, I'm going to look at my schedule here, August 8th. A repairing of Jamie Lee Curtis, recent Oscar winner, and Lindsay Lohan from the original.
A future Oscar winner, perhaps.
Yes,
you never know. I mean,
she was talented at one time, wasn't she?
Well, yeah, Prairie Home Companion. She's great in that, for instance. And she's really good in the original Freaky Friday.
Well, yes.
Quote, unquote, original Freaky Friday, which is a remake itself.
Yeah. Well, okay, so some other ones. How about F1, Brad Pitt as a Formula One racer who comes out of retirement? Kind of smacks of a Top Gun, you know, returning plot, but hey.
Are you suggesting Brad Pitt's following the Tom Cruise playbook?
I don't know who's following who.
I think Brad Pitt has his own playbook.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Right. And then there are a couple that were intriguing to me, like that one, Hurry Up Tomorrow.
Yes.
And it's with The Weeknd. It's a musical psychological thriller.
I saw the trailer for it, and it's got the Irish actor Barry Keoghan, and I'd watch him in anything.
And it's written and directed by Trey Edward Schultz, who made It Comes at Night and Waves. Mm-hmm. He's a really interesting kind of impressionistic filmmaker. The Weeknd's involvement in the screenwriting process of that gives me a little bit of pause.
But he does have an album that has the same name.
It's
so
like
I don't know how much. Right.
Thing.
So I don't know how much overlap there's going to be.
There's one on July 4th.
Right. Okay. Yay.
Yes. Go ahead, Mary Pat.
Okay. Matt Stone, Trey Parker, Paramount musical movie.
You can't find anything about this.
Doesn't have a title yet.
Doesn't have a title. And there's really, all we know is that Kendrick Lamar is involved in it.
Okay. Well.
Well, I always like ones, you know, that's like going to the Secret Fest or going to the Monday night movies.
My guess
AMC.
Is we'll probably get a trailer for that in the next month or so.
Let's hope so. You think it's going to be with puppets?
Well, that's the thing is this would be the first movie that Trey Parker and Matt Stone have made in 20 years since Team America World Police. So that's interesting. I have a couple that I want to shout out from directors following up impressive debuts. There are two of them. So on June 13th is the film Materialists, which is written and directed by Celine Song, an Oscar nominee for the movie Past Lives, which was her debut. And this one looks to be more of a romantic comedy. It's got Dakota Johnson, Chris Evans, and Pedro Pascal. Dakota Johnson is a matchmaker, and she kind of falls into a love triangle, I'm assuming, with the other two men. I'm not totally sure. I don't know what Celine Song's deal with triad relationships is, but she's continuing the theme from Past Lives. I'm really curious to see what she does next.
And quick question here. Yeah. Is Pedro Pascal in everything anymore?
You know, I'm not complaining. He's a charming man.
No, I'm not either.
And then
not at all.
On August 8th is the newest movie by Zach Cregger, who made the horror film Barbarian. This is his follow-up to that. It's called Weapons. And I pulled this from the IMDb. This is all it says. An interrelated multi-story horror epic about the disappearance of high school students in a small town. Josh Brolin and Julia Garner are the stars there. So I'm really curious to see where those people go now that they have a bigger budget and I'm assuming more creative freedom with their second films.
But I'm so surprised, Nathan, that on May 9th you have not pointed out Clown in a Cornfield. How could we not talk about Clown in a Cornfield?
Well, you know,
The best title since Hobo with a Shotgun.
Well, yeah, I mean, do you even need a poster or a trailer for a movie called Clown in a Cornfield? You kind of know what you're getting.
Especially since it's by the same guy, Eli Craig, who directed Tucker and Dale vs. Evil and Zombieland.
That's a good one. Tucker and Dale vs. Evil is a lot of fun.
Well, and then there's another film, and I don't know what happened to this. Maybe you guys know more about this, but Americana, not the one that involves Taylor Swift, but one that Sydney Sweeney stars in, Spokane's own.
Sure.
But it's been knocking around for a while. I mean, I think it was a 2023 film, but they're now releasing it on August 22nd.
That's always a good sign.
No.
Yeah, it's not a good sign, but there were aspects of it that sounded a little intriguing.
What is it?
It's basically a thriller, I guess. Well, it's about a small town in South Dakota or something.
Yeah, someplace.
Where mysterious artifact appears.
The people are fighting over, to say.
Well, hey, maybe it'll be good.
Yeah, maybe.
But you figure, I mean, if it was such a slow rollout, it does make you stop to think. But
and sometimes it's things that were beyond everyone's control and the movie is perfectly good and it's, you know, studio politics or whatever.
But coming up here soon is, you know, I like Rami Malek in anything. And in The Amateur, coming up very soon, it's another one of those stories about the nerd's revenge, but that might be absolutely worth looking
looks
at.
Looks like a Death Wish kind of thing.
Okay,
kind of.
So
and it's a remake
about,
of an 80s movie.
So nobody's mentioned Ballerina.
The John Wick film.
Yes,
the John Wick film.
With Ana de Armas and Keanu.
I've heard that's also had kind of a troubled production history, post-production at least, so I'll be curious to see that one, but I do like the John Wickiverse, even though I was complaining about franchises earlier, so
yeah, really.
I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah, well, we're all hypocrites. Okay, now that we've got the theatrical releases out of the way for the coming summer movie season, you know, one of the things that we've tried to do over the last few years is talk more and more about what's going to be streaming. And a lot of these are things that are originals, either through Amazon Prime or something on VOD or Netflix originals, but some of these are just regurgitated theatrical releases. So looking at the list, there are several of these movies that seem somewhat interesting. For example, Happy Gilmore 2, July 25th. I don't even know what category to put that one in, but that is going to be a Netflix original, which, of course, as we know, Adam Sandler has his own relationship with Netflix putting out film after film.
He basically has his own,
film.
Like, mini studio cranking out
exactly.
Netflix movies.
Exactly. Happy Gilmore 2, as long as it's got Christopher McDonald.
Some more palatable than others.
Yeah. Well, and it has Christopher McDonald and Bad Bunny and
Margaret
Qualley.
Benny Safdie.
And Travis Kelce.
Oh, one of my favorite actors, Travis Kelce.
Right, exactly.
It's too bad that Bob Barker is no longer with us, so that he couldn't come back and do a cameo in Happy Gilmore 2. I wanted to call out another Netflix original, which I just read about. It's called Havoc, and it comes out April 25th, so whether or not that counts as summer, I don't know. The summer movie season seems to start earlier and earlier every year. But this one, I was looking at it. It stars Tom Hardy. The poster looks kind of generic. I mean, Havoc is a generic title. And I'm looking through the plot. Drug deal gone wrong. Criminal underworld. Detective going into a web of corruption and conspiracy. Blah, blah, blah. And I thought, there's nothing much to this. And then I scrolled down and it said written and directed by Gareth Evans. Now, if you don't know that name, He wrote and directed The Raid Redemption and The Raid 2, which are two of the craziest, most violent, insane, fun action movies of the last decade. So if it's anything like The Raid movies, I will be watching Havoc the day that it comes out. I hope it's at least half as good as the Raid film. So I'm now looking forward to that movie, despite its generic looking package.
Well, so Dan, you wanted to shout out Bono, Stories of Surrender, which is an Apple TV adaptation of the one-man stage production about Bono's life.
This is the
music.
First I'm hearing of Bono having a one-man show. I did not know that.
I didn't know. I didn't know that either.
Okay. But I'm not sure he was in the one-man show. I'm just saying that it's about his life.
I'm guessing he was.
Okay. I don't know.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm a YouTube freak, and as long as they have the music, I don't care. It could be anything. You know, we went to Vegas just to simply see them.
In the Sphere.
Yes, we did. Exactly.
And another, I know you're going to be eager to see this one. It's a Netflix original called Nonas, and it's with Vince Vaughn, and he loses his mom, and then he starts a restaurant with these Italian grandmothers. And
played by.
Actually, played by Susan Sarandon, Lorraine Bracco, Talia Shire. And I actually liked him a lot in Bad Monkey that was out last year. It was a TV series. So I think that's something that could be horrible or great.
So what you're saying is we're going to have to review Nonas, aren't we?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. I'll check
okay,
it out.
Okay, if you watch Havoc, I'll watch Nonas.
Okay,
how's that for
fair
a trend?
Enough.
Yeah, but
fair
will
enough.
Both of you watch Big Freaking Rat, which is a VOD comic horror about, hey, a big freaking rat is threatening people.
No, thank you. Then we have Fog of War, which is coming out next week, right? Or coming out
very soon.
Yeah. Starring John Cusack and Mira Sorvino.
Yeah, that looks, actually, it looks pretty bad.
Well, that's a good note to end on, don't you think?
Okay, yeah. But what about G20, Viola Davis as the president?
Yeah, she couldn't be any worse than what we got right now.
Hey, I'd take Viola Davis.
Any day.
And hey, if she were like on a team with me, I know that I'm going to be safe because Viola Davis is tough.
And that was our look at the coming summer movie season. And this is Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster. And earlier in the show, Nathan Weinbend, Murray Pat Truthart, and I discussed the British film The Penguin Lessons. Let's take this moment and thank Cassie Fox for both producing and engineering the show. And we thank you to our loyal listeners. We invite you back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, when we'll again check out all the best that cinema has to offer, wherever we can find it. Till then, consider these words from the late, great Orson Welles. The notion of directing a film is the invention of critics. The whole eloquence of cinema is achieved in the editing room. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.